I invite you to take a Bible and join me in turning to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 22. We were, some of you may remember, working our way through different excerpts from the book of Joshua before the end of last year, and we have made our way to chapter 22 tonight. If you need a Bible and want to use one of the pew Bibles, you'll find Joshua 22 on page 249. Late last year, Ben Smith of Portishead, Britain, accomplished one of the most amazing feats I've ever heard of. The 34-year-old completed his 401st marathon. 401 marathons in 401 days. Yes, you heard that right. According to BBC News, Smith started out his ambitious endeavor in September 2015, hoping to raise £250,000 for anti-bullying charities after having been bullied for 8 years of my life at school. In 284 days, he ran 284 marathons. Then trouble struck. He developed an umbilical hernia in June, which forced him to stop for 10 days to recover before resuming and making up the lost mileage. On October 5th of 2016, he completed the last marathon, having run 10,500 miles since he first began. But don't worry, Smith's planning on taking it easy for a while. After the final marathon, his team put together a three-month cool down involving a month of back-to-back half marathons, followed by a month of 10K runs, and then a month of daily 5K runs. So he's really taking it easy, just becoming a regular couch potato now. It's amazing. But in some ways, I think maybe the people of Israel may have felt similarly exhausted at this point in their history. They had spent 40 years in the wilderness trying to get to the promised land. Well, kind of trying. They had been there and they had not entered in, and so they were subjected to 40 years of wilderness. And these folks who actually entered in were not the adults who refused to go in. They were the children, but still they had wandered for 40 years. And then Joshua led them into the promised land, and we've been looking at that, some of the battles they fought, some of the ups and downs that they experienced. But it's been 7 years of taking the land. Now they have taken the land, and we find these words at the end of chapter 21. Just listen as I read, beginning verse 43. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. And then, right after that, chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. At that time, Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed the voice in all that I have commanded you. It obeyed my voice in all that I have commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days, down to this day, but have been careful to keep the charge of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he promised them. Therefore, turn and go to your tents in the land where your possession lies, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would teach us tonight. Help us to see in this commendation that Joshua gives to these 2.5 tribes of Israel, Lord, the importance of keeping our commitments and the commendation, Lord, that awaits all of those who will truly be good and faithful servants of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a little bit of context, all right? So you kind of understand what's going on. As the Israelites were nearing the end of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Two and a half of the tribes, you know, there were 12 tribes of Israel, 2.5 of the tribes saw the land that was on the eastern side of the Jordan River. All right. And they said, this is good land. Why don't we just settle here? Now, this is not part of the original promise. We're not part of the original plan to be allotted to the Israelites. But so when they kind of made this offer or asked Moses about this, Moses was none too happy. He really thought they were trying to get out of helping to win the promised land. You know, they were lazy, they were afraid, whatever. He thought they just didn't want to go in, so he wouldn't give them permission. In fact, he chastised them. They said, no. We'll leave our wives, our children here, and we'll go, we'll fight as long as it takes to win Canaan, to win the promised land for our brothers. And they did. Now it's been 7 years. The land has been taken, as we just saw, has been possessed by the Israelites. And so Joshua commends them. And so that's what we see first here, is the cause of this commendation. This I have entitled this commending commitment. And the cause for the commendation is they kept their word. They kept their commitment. He is commending these tribes for their faithfulness and standing with and fighting with their brothers until the land was conquered. This was not just faithfulness to their brothers, it was faithfulness to God, to His word, to their leaders, as well as to their brothers. This faithfulness was tied up in the mission that God had given them to conquer the land. Again and again and again in Scripture, we are reminded of the importance of being faithful to what God has called us to, faithful to our commitments. In Psalm 15, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. Who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. Who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Do you know what that means? It means keeps his commitment even if it costs him. Yes, I will be there. I will do that. You can count on me. And then something happens to make it difficult, but he keeps his word. And there were often times when I'm sure the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh wanted to say, you know, this is tougher than we thought it was going to be. You know, we've got our land, all right, on the other side. Let's just go home. But they didn't. They didn't. They were faithful to keep their commitments. The Apostle Paul reminds the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, what it was that he expected to be examined and judged by, and that was faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 1, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. I'm sure Paul was glad it wasn't good looking, right? That they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. And this same apostle who wrote these words to the church at Corinth lived them out so that at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, very familiar words for most of you, Paul essentially writes his own eulogy, his own epitaph, if you will. And in 2 Timothy 4, beginning verse 6, we read this. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. In other words, Paul says, I'm getting ready to die. All right? I know that the end is here. And what does he say? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know, there were times in Paul's ministry when if you looked at the results, especially by some standards, he wouldn't have been too successful. And yet, the Apostle Paul, humanly speaking, was responsible for the gospel being taken to much of the then known world. Look at the ministry of Jesus. How many did he have at the end? All right, before his resurrection. Not many, but they were faithful. We are called to be faithful. Sometimes people will judge us by human standards and say, you know, there's not much there. That's okay. The question is, are we being faithful? Judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. And that's what counts. Joshua commended these tribes because they were faithful to what they had promised to do. After a long list in Hebrews 11 of people who the writer of the Hebrews says were commended for their faith. That is their faithfulness, their trust in the Lord and their perseverance. He writes those familiar words at the beginning of chapter 12. Therefore, seeing that we are compassed about or surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and I don't primarily think he had in mind witnesses in heaven, but these are witnesses who have gone before to testify to the importance of being faithful. Let us run with endurance, faithfulness, the race that is set before us. So the cause of their commendation was their commitment, their faithfulness to what they had committed themselves to. The second thing that I see in this passage is the caution or concern, the caution added to the commendation. Because in verse 5, we read this. Joshua says, only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua is essentially saying, I commend you for how you've done so far, but don't try to rest on your laurels. All right? Don't think that you have arrived. You're not at the end yet. All right? Keep on keeping on. In fact, what he was really doing, he was giving them the word that the Lord gave him back at the beginning of Joshua. Do you remember that? Some of you do. Joshua chapter 1, beginning verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into this land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So Joshua, those words were fresh in his mind after all these years. He's sending these faithful tribes home. But he says, listen, make sure you remain faithful. You see, we read, or Pastor Greg read, and we followed along earlier, 2 Peter chapter 1. And what's Peter doing? He's writing, who's he writing to? He's writing to Christians, right? He's writing to believers. But he says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, so on and so forth. For if you do, then you will not be unfruitful. And he, towards the end of those verses, he says, I think it's important to what? To bring this to your remembrance. To remind you of these things. Why? Because as much as God has done a work in our lives, as much as we love the Lord and want to persevere, it's not easy. It's not a guarantee. We need reminders because past or even present faithfulness is no guarantee of future obedience. Ever heard of Demas in the New Testament? Let me read a couple passages about Demas. In Colossians chapter 4, if you want to follow along, it'll take me a couple of minutes or seconds. Colossians 4, verse 14, we read this. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha in the church in her house. In other words, Paul's saying, Demas is one of my co-workers. He, along with Luke, Luke wrote Luke and Acts, right? Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. So Demas evidently was a trusted, faithful fellow worker of Paul. But then, in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, just a few verses after Paul's own epitaph or eulogy, as it were, in verse 9, Paul writes to Timothy, do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. You know, I'm sure no one could have seen that coming. I bet Demas didn't see it coming. I bet the Apostle Paul didn't see it coming. But Demas forsook Paul, deserted him. Why? Because he was in love with this present world. When did that happen? How did that? We don't know. But it happens. It happens. You know people. I know people who seemingly started the race well, but somewhere along the line, dropped out. We believe in eternal security, or what we call once saved, always saved. It's not that those people lost their salvation, but it's a demonstration that maybe they never had it to begin with. There's a caution, a concern. Don't assume that past faithfulness is a guarantee of future faithfulness or obedience. The third thing is the consequence. What was the consequence for their commendation, their commitment? They got to go home with a blessing. Verse 6, so Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. They had been faithful, they'd done what they said, and the end result was Joshua blessed them for their service and sent them home, sent them to their tents. Now here I'm going to spiritualize a little bit. Because our ultimate goal is home, right? But this is not home. This is not home. Our commendation awaits, our final commendation awaits us when we stand before the Lord. Just like Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 4, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. We need to be faithful in the meantime so that we can hear that, well done, good and faithful servant, when we stand before the Lord. Amy Carmichael was a missionary to India for well over 55 years or something, rescued many, many girls from child prostitution in temples in India. Gave her life for that cause. She once wrote, "We will have eternity to celebrate the victories, but only a few hours before sunset to win them." Let's work to win the victories now, in our lives and in the lives of others. The time for celebration, the time for commendation will come when we stand before the Lord. I love a story that Ray Stedman, who was pastor of a church in Palo Alto, California for many years, used to tell about a missionary couple that that retired from being missionaries. An old missionary couple had been working in Africa for years, and they were returning to New York City to retire. They had no pension. Their health was broken. They were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They discovered they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of his big game hunting expeditions. No one paid any attention to them. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage, with passengers trying to catch a glimpse of the great man. As the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "Something's wrong. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service for God in Africa all these many years and have no one care a thing about us? Here this man comes back from a hunting trip and everybody makes much over him, but nobody gives two hoots about us." "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way," his wife said. "I can't help it. It doesn't seem right." When the ship docked in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president. The mayor and other dignitaries were there. The papers were full of the president's arrival, but no one noticed this missionary couple. They slipped off the ship and found a cheap flat on the east side, hoping the next day to see what they could do to make a living in the city. That night, the man's spirit broke. He said to his wife, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." His wife replied, "Why don't you go in the bedroom and tell that to the Lord?" A short time later, he came out from the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. His wife asked, "Dear, what happened?" "The Lord settled it with me," he said. "I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned home. And when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'But you're not home yet.'" There are rewards for faithfulness, but not necessarily here. We look forward to seeing the Lord and hearing those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Although we're saved by grace through faith, we know that faithfulness matters. It matters to the church. It matters to others. It matters to the Lord. Now, as I kind of indicated earlier, I'm glad that it's not going to be, "Well done, good-looking servant. Well done, intelligent servant. Well done, talented and skillful servant," because I'd be left out. No, like the Reubenites, the Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh, the commendation will be, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instructions we receive from your word, the encouragement, sometimes the rebuke. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation that is free through what Christ has done, the price that he has paid. But Lord, that does not mean that faithfulness doesn't matter. It does not mean that keeping our commitments is optional. Lord, we pray that you would, by your grace, by your power, help us to run the race with perseverance, with faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.